You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro. Joining us today, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 15th day of June, 2022. Thanks so much for joining us. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we're just glad to have you right here, right now. We do two live broadcasts each and every day. The first live broadcast is from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. That is a private broadcast, and it is for our members only and those taking the free trial. Later in the show, Michael will show you exactly how you can take the free trial as well. After the live training room, we take a 30-minute break, and then we come back for the afternoon broadcast, which begins every day at 12 noon Eastern. Now, there's two ways to join the afternoon broadcast, one better than the other. Here's the better way. Go to our homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click the big microphone, follow the instructions, you'll be registered in about 30 seconds. That will give you one-click access to the show each and every day. The way it works is once you do the 30-second registration, every trading day, right before this show starts, you'll get an email, and in the email there's a link. All you have to do is click the link in the email, and it automatically logs you in through our GoTo platform. And the reason that's the better way is because it gives you access to the question box so that you can ask questions and participate in the discussion. The other way to join the show is if you're out of your office or maybe from your desktop, maybe you're on vacation this time of year, but still want to join live, go to our YouTube channel. It's easy to remember, youtube.com/CFRN. Not only do we broadcast live each and every day on our YouTube channel, but we also archive each and every daily show. Currently, there's over 2,000 daily live broadcasts archived for your educational and viewing pleasure. So with that said, let's open with a word of prayer as we do. Today, we're going to talk about a prayer for God to strengthen you. Our scripture is Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In our world today, many people are struggling with situations in their lives that are incredibly challenging. Death of a loved one, fractured families, health, financial troubles, the list just seems to never end. Hard times always bring both fear and distressed in its unexpectedness in our lives. Hard times completely overwhelm minds and emotions and weaken even the strongest of hearts. Now, we may be struggling with a situation in our life, how are we going to pay the electricity bill? While we have people on the other side of the world, in Ukraine, concerned about how they're going to simply live another day and find food and water to sustain them through that day. And that person might have three or four little children all clutching onto their legs. So there's varying degrees of problems and distress, but wherever you find yourself in the world situation, your problem is as important to God as it is to anyone else. Now, our verse today offers great encouragement that in the midst of our messy situations, there's hope. Let's unpack the hope for us today in each of its phrases. The scripture says, do not fear. Fear fills us when we feel that we are alone and helpless in our darkest moments. In every situation that we walk through, God gives us this command, do not fear. Do not fear, fear not, depending upon the translation. It's the most repeated line in the entire Bible. And then he backs it up with this promise, I am with you. Let us go into our hard places, speaking this truth to our hearts and minds, truly knowing that God is there with us. That should fill our souls with courage. The next line in the verse says, do not be dismayed. Dismayed means that we lose our courage because of the fearful situations that sometimes result from an unexpected turn of events. Things in our life can change quickly. Other people hurt us. Pain can blindside us. Situations rush at you, knocking you down, stealing your hope, and disturbing your peace. God says that in those moments, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. His presence comforts you and protects your heart. He is with you in every single situation, in every breath you take, and in every hard decision that you must make. He is your God. He is strong. He is mighty. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. How can you take comfort in those words? Because God tells you how he will help you in your fearful and unexpected situations. God says to you today, I will strengthen you and help you. God will work for you in these hard moments as he makes you stronger. He will help you get through these challenging moments victoriously. Open up the Bible and cling to its promises. These situations were allowed by God to strengthen you, to draw you closer to him. God will indeed help you as he works in mighty ways in your life. And God promises victory for you when he makes this promise. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will hold you up spiritually during these times as you pour your heart out in prayer, as you fill your mind and heart with his word. He will lift you up from these fearful situations with his righteous or excellent right hand. In ancient days, the right hand of a king signified granting you favor. You will receive God's favor in every struggle that you are walking through, as long as you keep your eyes on him. So today, can you take this opportunity to trust God more and to pour out your worries to him right there in the midst of all that is messy in your life? He is with you and he is your God. So go tell each of your situations that you will not be fearful or dismayed. You have God with you in every single one of them. You do not have to walk through them alone or afraid ever. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder from your word that you are my God. Thank you, Lord, that in everything I am struggling with today, you are with me. It is you who strengthens me. It is you who helps me. It is you who holds me up with your righteous right hand. And it is you who responds to me with favor, because you are my God. I do not need to fear, nor do I need to be dismayed. I trust you, Lord, for each moment of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And everybody said amen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, guys, let me give you the numbers from around the world real quick here. We'll start out in the U.S. cash markets, or the indices, as they're called. Currently, the Dow's up 154 points. The NASDAQ's up 196 points, which is almost 2%. S&P 500 is up 37, 1%. And the Russell 2000 up 24 points. That's almost 1.5%. In the commodity basket, crude oil is down $1.61, trading 117.32 last. That's a drop of over 1.25%. Gold is up $10.60, trading 18.24.10 last. And silver is up 57 cents, trading 21.52 last. That's a gain of almost 3%. And a reminder, when you're trading futures and the price of silver changes by $1, that's worth $5,000 per contract traded. That's when silver moves $1. And at the moment, silver is up 57 cents. In the Asian markets at the close, the Nikkei dropped 303 points, a little over 1%. Shanghai rose 16 points. The Hang Seng gained 240 points, which is a little over 1%. And in the European markets at the close, FTSE up 85, almost 1.25%. The DAX up 180, 1.25%. And the CAC rose 80 points, which is over 1.25%. That gave us a mixed day in Asia. It was a green day for the UK. And so far, it's a big green Radio Wednesday here in the US of A. So with that, we'll go to Michael and get a recap of what happened in the live training room this morning. After that, I'll come back and we'll take a look at the Logic 247 alerts, the concierge trade alerts, and at any time during the broadcast, if you have a question, just type it into the question box and we'll be happy to answer it for you. Michael, it's all yours if you're ready.
I am ready. Here we go.
I see your screen. And there you go. Got it all.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. All right. I'll be here when you're done.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, the 15th day of June, 2022. Now, if you've not taken a free trial with us and you want to, go here to eminitrainingschool.com. On this page, all that we ask for is your first name, your email, and your phone number. You can tell us the biggest training challenge so we can tailor one-on-one training just for you. Hit the send button, you'll be sent to confirmation link. You must click on that confirmation link, okay? If you don't click that link, we don't know that you took the free trial, okay? Okay, so here we go. If you're going to read the spreadsheet, you've got to read all the CFTC risk disclosures down at the bottom. Today, as I said, is the 15th day of June, 2022. Made 40 ticks in crude, 18 ticks in gold, and 28 ticks on the ES. Put us at 9:30 on the morning session. Today, it took 1 minute and one trade to get to the goal for the day. That brought up $100 a contract, and we took a total of 21 trades. So on the month now, we're at $11,912 a contract. That's over 11 trading days, averaging $1,082 per contract per two-hour trading day. Now, we have gone 175 days since our last down day, and we've gotten our goal for the day on 114 out of 114 days so far this year. And that puts us at $124,011 on the year. That is averaging $1,087 per contract per two-hour trading day. Okay. Now, if you were to quit trading when you got your goal for the day and you made the goal $100 per contract, and you were to add one contract per month and do everything exactly like I did so far this year in the morning, well, the first few minutes of the morning anyway, you would have only had to trade 16.7 hours so far this year, because you would have gotten your goal every day early on so far this year. 16.7 hours, over 144 days. And you would have averaged $3,114 per hour in those 16.7 hours. Okay, so that is 16.7 divided by 144. What's that? 16.7 divided by 144. You would have worked an average of about 7 minutes a day is what it comes out to. Pretty good stuff if you can get it. The SPY, we need this to go all the way up, way, way, way up. It's not looking so good right now. But anyway, let's get into what we did do and what we didn't do today. All right, we'll start out, I guess we'll just go right across the board. We'll start out with gold. All right, now suddenly I'm disconnected here. Let me reconnect. I disconnected at the end of the morning session so I could do a moment in time. Let me reconnect so we can... Actually, I don't need to reconnect right now. I will just go with what we had. All right. Let's see. Nope, I guess I do need to reconnect. Hang on. Give me 1 second here. Log on. Okay. All right, so this is gold. Everything else is still logging on right now. But on gold today, we did not get our goal for the day on gold to begin with. We did end up having a pretty good day on gold. See all these numbers here we were projecting it was going to go up to? In the beginning, it was just these two right here. When it was down here, it was just these two. When it went up and hit both of those and pulled back, and then we're saying it should actually hit all three of those. You had all three of those, and then it pulled back, and then it didn't give us a trade on the short side. It turned around and went up and hit all of these at the end of the morning session. But that is how we ended the morning session. Now, with gold, we started off right in here. All right, our first trade of the day on gold was right here. It looks like, is that our very first trade on gold? I think it was. And it looks like we got a break even on the first trade. Break even on the first trade, and then the next trade we got +8, and the trade after that we got +3. That put us at a +11. Then we had a +6 and a +1. All right, so something is missing right here. That's what I thought. The +8 that I got right at the very beginning, that's missing in here. And then this is the +3. So I got +8 on the first trade. I'm not exactly sure where that was. I am guessing that it was probably right in here. Probably got a +8 right there, or it could have been right here off the BBC right there. And then we got a +3. That put us at +11. Then we had our moment in time, and in here I didn't really know what gold was going to do. I was thinking it was going to get choppy in this area, but it didn't. It just kept going right up through all those numbers that we had projected. And then over here from 11, we went to 17, so we had a +6. Right, and then we went from 17 to 18. So somewhere in here we had a +6. We went from +11 to 17, and then went from 17 to 18. So we had a +1. And that was it for gold. We really didn't have a ton of opportunity. During the break, it looks like there was one highest probability long trade right there, and that was it on the gold. Crude oil. I believe crude is where we got the goal for the day first thing this morning. I'm pretty sure it was. And we'll see right here. As I scroll back, it was right here. Our very first trade of the morning, we captured 10 ticks on that first trade. And then I missed the second trade and the third trade. But we did get 10 ticks on the first trade to give us the goal for the day. So we're +10 right there. And then we got another... It looks like another 10 right here to get us to +20. Break even there. Something happened in here. I got a +7 and then I stopped out. Okay, so somewhere in here we had a break even, then we had a +7. I'm not sure. I know we had +10, then we had a +7. Then we had a break even, then we stopped out. After the stop out, we went down to 19. Then we had a +3. They got us back to 21. Missed a trade right here. It looks like highest probability short. We went from 21 to 31, so I got a +10 right there. And over here, I had a break even. Then we went from 31 to 37 right there, so I had a +6. And then it looks like I had a +3 right there to get me to 40 on crude. And it looks like that's where I stopped trading. This was all the moment in time all through here. Thought it was going to go down to this level, up to this level. It did go right through that level. Then I thought it was going to go down after that, and it went down extra. Now, this was all crunched up in here. No, it used to be all like this. This is what I thought it was going to do. I thought it was going to go down, then up, then down, then back up. And so if you stretch it out, that's what it did. It went down, then up, then down, then back up. Sadly, the first trade, this was the only actionable one at the moment in time. I said, if we get an up close on this bar, after this bar, if this bar goes down, hits the BBC and gives an up close, this can be a trade. And it was. That was the only actionable trade. After that, it was right here. And then it got a little choppy, but it kept moving down, spun around and started going up. There was a trade there and a trade there. And then it spun around again. I don't know why I didn't trade any of this. I know there were a whole bunch of things going on. I think I was doing training right here at this period because the crude inventories came out. And I'm pretty sure I was doing training in here at this period. And then that's why I didn't do anything in there. But if we go all the way back to where I did start doing stuff again, I didn't take a single trade. We're looking for them, but I didn't take a single trade. Now, there were trades in there. There was a short right here. There was a short right here. There was a short right there. There was a long right here. Now, this is all during the break. I'll just do the highest probability trades during the break. Okay, there was a short right here, highest probability. A short right here, highest probability. A long right there, highest probability. A short right there, high probability, but not highest. And that was it on crude oil. We ended up with +40 on crude. We could have been so much better than 40 though. All right, in the ES, I want to show you guys something on the ES. I'll do it after I'm done with this. I'll show you what I mean to show you here in just a few minutes when I'm done with this. Okay. All right. So on the ES, not the ES, sorry. Yeah, this is the ES. Sorry. On the ES, our first trade on the ES was right here. We picked up 8 ticks on that. Then we followed up with a break even. Then a break even. That might have been a +2. One of these we had a +2 on. No, this might have been the +2. There was a trade here that we missed, highest probability trade there. It was the highest probability long right there, short right there. Missed both of those. Then I think I got a +2 to get me to 10. Then I got a +7 right here to get me to 17. Then the next one is a +10 to get us to 27. Then a break even and a 1 to get us to 28. And then we got to the moment in time. I guess I did a lot of training because I didn't do a lot of trading after the moment in time here. We did the moment in time a little later than we normally do. I normally do it around 10 and it goes to 10:30, but this time I think I did it at 10 and it went at 10:30 and went to 11. But in here we thought it was going to go down, then up, then down, and it pretty much did all of that. But we had no trade for it. The slingshot wasn't right for a trade. Okay, I thought it was going to go down further right here to pull the green line back a little further, and then I was hoping it was going to go up and pull the MA1 away from the BBC like it did. And I was hoping I'd get a bounce off the BBC after it did that, but we didn't actually get that. Okay. Following it up, there was a highest probability short right there. Not there. There was a highest probability long right there. Highest probability short right there. Nothing there. All of this. Now we're into the break. It was the highest probability long there and long there. We ended with plus 28 on the ES. This is all in the break. It was the highest probability long. Another one. Nope, that's not one there. And that was about it for the ES. Okay, but I wanted to show you guys something else. You know, I've been working on the bounce off the BBC with the right bar color. And you can see that happens again and again. Here's one right here. Here's one right here. You want to have the right colored close. Like right here would be a short off the BBC. You have a red bar shorting off a red BBC. Okay, that's what you want to get. You want to have a blue bar going long off a blue BBC and a red bar going short off a red BBC. Now, I'm working on this other thing to add to it that is going to let you know when you get into a choppy situation where you probably don't want to trade, like right in here. You know, this was a down close. The BBC wasn't the right color, but the idea is to let you know right before you get into a choppy situation like this where you wouldn't want to trade. You know, we're right in here, we wouldn't really want to trade. So I'm working on that. But if you just do the bounces off the BBC where the BBC is the right color, you know, here's a blue one right here, here's a blue one right here. You know, that by itself is enough. When you look at it, a question was asked this morning. Yeah, let me bring the question box out, see if anybody's asked any. Okay. A question was asked this morning in the room, what about the slingshot? The bar color takes the slingshot into account, but the one thing that you can use a slingshot for are the secondary trades. Like if all the bars are red and you get a pullback like that, or a pullback like this, and all the bars are red and you close on the other side of that, you know, the bounce off the BBC with the right color bar is the highest probability trade. The bounce off the BBC with the right color bar, highest probability trade. All right. If you have all the bars the right color and the slingshot is right, if you hit the BBC or not, if you get a trend line trade like that and the slingshot is right, that's your second highest probability trade. So if you just want to deal with your highest and second highest probability trades, then all you have to do is wait for the bounce off the BBC with the right bar color for the highest probability. And the BBC being the right color, it further confirms that, okay? It makes it even a little bit higher. And then your secondary trades would be when it doesn't hit the BBC, but you still get the trend line trade and the slingshot is right, okay? So you take this trade right here, all right? You could take this trade right here for that short, all right? That is... like right over here, you can take this trade right there for that short. That's the beauty of all this. So you have your highest and second highest probability trades with really just the BBC on the chart and the slingshot. If you want to do the second highest, you'd have the slingshot too, but you don't need the slingshot for the highest probability trade. Okay. I just wanted to point that out to everyone. That is what's being worked on right now behind the scenes. One more thing for all you guys who are using NinjaTrader. I showed this yesterday. I'll show it to you again today. If you go into Telegram and you go here, the NinjaTrader 8 start here. I changed it around a little bit. There's a video in here that says video install for the sidebar. This video install for the sidebar is going to be looking for a download link. If you use this one right here, the sidebar NT8 download link, it's version 1.1.1. There's one little change inside that. That has the bar color right on the sidebar, but it also has the TI key no gap range bars. So if you do this install or this install, either one of those is going to have both of the same thing. They're the same file. So to learn about how to use the sidebar, watch this video, and the no gap thing, watch this video. Those of you guys on NinjaTrader 8, the no gap thing is as follows. Here is a chart. Now, let me go to data series. The range, the bar type is going to be, we'll change it to range, all right? And you'll see right now, we have gaps all over the place in between the bars, all over. You can see gaps all up in here, throughout there. There's gaps in between the bars. What this does is removes all those gaps. You see there's no more gaps in there, up here, anywhere like that. Removes all those gaps, okay? So right over here, you see this bounce off the BBC right there? Now with just regular range bar with gaps on it, it's still the same thing, but you have gaps in there. It's just a little easier to see and keep track of things, I think. if you have the no gap bars. And anybody that's using DT Pro is used to having the no gaps. Okay, so if you're switching back and forth between Ninja and DT Pro, this is going to be a smoother transition for you. That is part of the sidebar install. You have to have the sidebar enabled to be able to use that. Okay. All right. So let's, I think I went through this all again, but I'll go through it one more time with you. The recaps on the day, we were plus 40 on crude, 18 on gold, and 28 on the ES, put us at 9:30 in the morning session. One trade, 1 minute this morning to get the gold for the day. At that point, we're up $100 a contract. We took 21 trades. On the month now, we're $11,912 over 11 days, averaging $1,082 per contract per 2-hour trading day. We've now gone 175 days since our last negative day, and we've gotten our goal on 114 out of 114 days so far this year. That puts us at $124,011 on the year, averaging $1,087. That's one contract, 2 hours a day. If you were to quit trading when you got your goal for the day, and your goal was $100 a contract, and you added one contract a month, so far this year, you would have only had to work 16.7 hours on the year. That's an average of about 7 minutes a day. And you would have earned $3,114 per hour on the year. Okay, on those 16.7 hours that you worked. So 7 minutes a day, average, and 52 grand you'd be at right now. That's if you did everything exactly like I did with those parameters that I just described. If you've not taken a trial with us and you want to, go here to eminitrainingschool.com on this page, right here, all that we ask for is your first name, your email, and your phone number. You can tell us the biggest trading challenge, so we can tell the one-on-one training just for you. Hit the send button, you'll be sent a confirmation link. You must click on that confirmation link. Okay, if you don't click the link, we don't know that you took the free trial, so make sure you click on that link. Okay. All right. That's it. With that, we can pass it back out to fabulous Phoenix, Arizona, and Studio A overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Dwayne, if you are ready.
Yes, sir, I am ready.
Excellent.
Okay.
There it is.
Recap of the recap.
Today it's 1 minute and one trade to get to $100 a contract.
Didn't get much simpler than that. And good job on getting that no gap thing for our ninja traders.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
Glad that worked out.
Forever thankful.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Michael just covered everything that happened since Wall Street opened this morning during the live training room from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And this is what's happened so far this week with Logic 247. Logic 247 is our 24/7, round-the-clock, e-mini alert service, but it covers more than just the e-minis. It also covers crude, gold, silver, the euro, and now even bonds. Now, the Globex markets open Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's when the Logic Alert Channel opens for business. Sunday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. And the Alert Channel stays open around the clock until Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern when the Globex markets close. So since the markets opened Sunday night, we've issued a total of 42 alerts, three of those never triggered. Still waiting on the outcome of 9. Some of those are the ones I just posted today, and some include the Sunday night gap lower open that hasn't filled. Now, the E-minis, when there's a gap, typically the only time we see gaps really are Sunday night after the market's been closed for a day and a half. And in earnings season, when there's a big hit or miss on one of the big names, sometimes we'll see a little bit of a gap. But the takeaway here is that gaps on the four major indices, the S&P, the Dow, the Russell, the NQ, they almost always fill in the same session. Sometimes they fill in minutes, sometimes it takes a couple of hours. Here we are Wednesday, and we've still not closed those gaps. So we had 30 actionable alerts, of which 3 or 10% would have been stopped out based on not risking more than $300 per contract per trade, less when possible, using market structure and a very simple three-step process that we teach all of our passport holders. Now, those logic alerts are based on current price action. Our original alert service, the concierge trade alerts, or the CTAs, as they're called, they are based on historic price action. And when historic price action meets current price action, that's often where you'll find some of your highest probability, low risk trade opportunities. Now, the goal each evening is to get the CTAs out as soon as I can after the Globex open. On particularly quiet nights, I sometimes intentionally wait a little bit. But last night, they came out 15 minutes after the open. And this is a static report. In other words, it's not going to come out around the clock the way the logic alerts do, because this is based on historic price action. It's one report published shortly after the Globex open, and the numbers are good for the entire session. It's important to point out that once an alert triggers, whether it's a concierge or a logic alert, there is a greater probability of it triggering multiple times than not triggering multiple times. Many days we see an alert trigger 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think we've seen as many as 10 triggers off of one alert. Okay. Now, when we go through the charts here in a few minutes, you'll be looking at the 30-minute chart. That's our roadmap. And a lot can happen inside of a 30-minute candle. So depending upon what your goal is and what time frame you've chosen as your trigger chart, you could have multiple triggers inside of the one 30-minute candle. Now, there's two numbers for each market. You probably don't trade all of these markets, but what you should do when this report is published each evening is first take note of where price is at this moment in time for that market, and then draw two lines in the sand. One, in the case of the S&P last night, would have been at 37.58. The other would have been at 37.20. Once this is posted, price starts trending up towards 37.58. That's bullish. And so our strategy will look for opportunities to be long the market. On the other hand, price starts trending down towards 37.20. That's bearish, and so our strategy will look for opportunities to be short the market. In either case, that's where you're going to use Logic 247 and everything you learn in the live training room every day to yourself find opportunities to be long or short the market. In most cases, on most days, you'll find that there's an opportunity to get your goal for the day before we hit the long trigger or before we even hit the short trigger. Okay, so if you want to take a screenshot of these, go ahead and do that now. Okay, I'll pull this down and we got a couple of headlines that we'll touch on and then we'll go to the charts. Nevada Republican primary voters yesterday backed candidates who embraced former President Donald Trump. Trump endorsed Las Vegas area Sheriff Joseph Lombardo, who won the Republican gubernatorial nomination, moving on to challenge Governor Steve Sisolak. Jim Marchant, a former state lawmaker who made Trump's election claims a campaign focus, won the primary for Nevada Secretary of State, the job with oversight over the swing state's elections. Trump endorsed Adam Laxalt, who won the GOP Senate primary and will challenge Senator Catherine Masto, one of the most vulnerable Democratic incumbents. South Carolina GOP voters split on two lawmakers who clashed with Trump, ousting Representative Tom Rice, but backing Representative Nancy Mace over a Trump-backed rival. Republican Myra Flores won a special election that flipped a historically Democratic Texas congressional seat. So now, that's going to be very interesting in the overall scheme of things. A historically Democratic congressional seat now has a Republican backside sitting in it. The House yesterday overwhelmingly passed a bill extending security to family members of Supreme Court justices after Democrats dropped a last-minute proposal to expand the measure to cover families of court staff. The bill next goes to President Biden's desk for his signature. Senators John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, and Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, pushed the measure through the Senate unanimously more than a month ago. A month ago, after the leak of a Supreme Court draft opinion indicating that the court's conservative majority is poised to overturn Roe v. Wade. Calls for added protection intensified as demonstrators protested outside justices' homes and a man was arrested near Justice Brett Kavanaugh's house on an attempted murder charge. He admitted that he clearly traveled from wherever it was he traveled from to Kavanaugh's house, fully intent and well armed, to kill him. Now, I just got to back up and make sure everybody understands. This bill made it through 30 days ago. Democrats dropped a last-minute proposal to expand the measure to cover families of court staff. So that's part of, I guess, the 30-day delay. And now all that's left is for President Biden to sign it, and for all I know, he may have already done that today. Brazilian police on Tuesday arrested a second suspect in connection with the disappearance of British journalist Don Phillips and indigenous expert Bruno Pereira in a part of Brazil's Amazon rainforest near the borders with Colombia and Peru. Osne Oliveira, 41, was temporarily detained under suspicion that he was involved in the disappearances, along with his brother, who is the primary suspect. He was arrested last week in the Riverside Village where Phillips and Pereira were last seen on June 5th. Police have searched Amarildo de Costa de Oliveira's boat and seized ammunition and an oar. Investigators have found a backpack and other articles belonging to the missing men, but denied a Monday report that two bodies had been found in the area where the men went missing. More than 8,000 Southern Baptist delegates meeting this week for their national convention in California voted yesterday to create a database to track sex abusers within the largest U.S. Protestant denomination. The Southern Baptist Convention is struggling to respond to a report by independent investigators that harshly criticized church leaders' handling of sex abuse allegations. The May report described years of efforts to cover up sex abuse by pastors and other officials, Southern Baptist leaders claimed for 15 years that they couldn't create a database of the offenders, even though they were secretly keeping just such a list. Now, I don't know that this is true, just sharing the headline with you. The sex abuse scandal has increased tensions within a denomination already contending with declining memberships and clashes over race, gender, and politics. I also don't know that to be true, but it very well may be. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack announced yesterday that it is postponing a hearing that was to include testimony from former Justice Department officials, including Jeffrey Rosen, who was acting Attorney General at the time of the insurrection. The hearing had been scheduled for today. The panel didn't immediately say what made the delay necessary. Committee member Representative Lofgren, Democrat from California, said the delay was no big deal, just a necessary pause to give our very small video staff more time to complete the exhaustive exercise of preparing video exhibits. I don't need to tell you how suspicious that sounds. I mean, it does take a lot of work to edit video and to take out the parts you don't want people to hear and then focus in on statements that are out of context. It is an exhaustive exercise. My heart goes out to them. The next hearing is set for tomorrow. Prices charged by U.S. suppliers surged in May, rising a seasonally adjusted 0.8% from the prior month and 10.8% compared to last May. The increase in the producer price index came as rising food and energy prices keep inflation at its highest level in decades, with consumer prices rising 8.6% year over year on May. Economists are watching the data closely for signs that inflation is peaking as the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates and reduces the bond holdings it purchased to boost the recovery from the coronavirus crisis. Fed is expected to announce an unusually large half or even possibly 0.75 percentage point increase in short-term interest rates when it concludes its two-day meeting today. So friend, all I can suggest is before 2 p.m. when this announcement comes out, put your mouse down. Now, there are some out there who specialize in trading news. Most of you tuned into this broadcast are trying to learn how to trade, okay? So I won't speak ill against those whose profession is trading the news, but I will say that if you're trying to learn how to trade, if you have the mouse in your hand at 2 p.m. Eastern when the announcement comes out, you're gambling, you're not trading, okay? Now, we'll get the Fed announcement at 2 p.m. and then at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will come to the podium, deliver a prepared speech, and then he will field questions from the audience. A Russian court yesterday extended WNBA star Brittany Griner's pretrial detention for a third time, pushing it to at least July 2nd, according to Russian state media outlet TASS. Griner has been jailed since February after being arrested at Sheremetyevo or something like that, International Airport near Moscow, and accused of having vape cartridges with hashish oil in her bag. Now, in the United States, of course, these types of cartridges are legal in many states to the general public, to anybody. You can walk into the local convenience store and buy them. In some states, you have to have a permission slip from your doctor. In other words, it's prescription, and you're granted a medical card for that purpose. But not in Russia, and not when it's an American. Griner, who is in Russia to play basketball for the Russian Premier League in the WNBA's off-season, was charged with large-scale transportation of drugs. So a couple of vape cartridges, but that somehow become large-scale transportation of drugs. You would think, you know, she had a ton of something, but if convicted, she could be sentenced to up to 10 years in prison, and this is no joke. Griner's wife, Sherelle Griner, told GMA co-anchor Robin Roberts last month that the WNBA's support has provided the jailed star some comfort. Floodwaters slowly started receding in the region around Yellowstone National Park on Tuesday. Hundreds of tourists and locals were isolated after the Yellowstone River and tributaries washed out roads in and out of the wilderness area. "We're on an island, so to speak," said Gardner. Gardner, Montana, that's the actual name. Campground manager Marshall Hawley. Somebody goofed that headline up. Park officials closed Yellowstone indefinitely at the start of the summer tourist season, forcing 10,000 people to leave the park after torrential rains in southern Montana and northern Wyoming made all entrances too dangerous to use. The national park draws millions of visitors each year. Raging floods destroyed several houses along the river. Crews made some rescues by air and boat. A panel of Food and Drug Administration advisors voted unanimously on Tuesday to recommend authorizing the emergency use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 6 to 17. Two full doses for kids 12 to 17, and half doses for those 6 to 11. The endorsement by the FDA's outside experts put the Moderna shot one step closer to becoming the second vaccine approved for school-aged children, joining the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. The same panel will meet Wednesday to consider whether the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines also are safe and effective for children under 5, the only age group in the United States without an approved coronavirus vaccine. Well, if you looked at the statistics from the CDC, you might notice why there has been no approved coronavirus vaccine for children under 5, because children under 5 pretty much don't seem to get COVID. But let's juice them up anyway. Once the FDA signs off, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will make the final decision on formal approval. And our final headline, the All England Club announced Tuesday that Serena Williams has been awarded a wild card entry that will let her play at Wimbledon. Williams, who has won a professional era record 23 Grand Slam titles, was not included in the singles entry list released earlier this month, but she was one of a handful of women added to the draw on Tuesday. The tennis legend has not competed since an injury forced her to withdraw in the first set of her first match at Wimbledon last year. She will get started in the storied grass court tournament playing doubles with Ons Jabeur at Eastbourne, England next week. Main draw play starts June 27th. And that's the news that's fit to read. Okay, here's the daily chart. S&P 500, E-mini futures. And guess what? Yesterday, after the show, we dropped even lower. So, we have to adjust. Now, these are reverse FIBs. And why are we using reverse FIBs? Because we are in a downtrend. In a downtrend, you draw from the high to the low. In an uptrend, you draw from the low to the high. And so this downtrend, it really began on March 30th. And here we are at June 15th. Now, we put in a new low yesterday, but we closed well off of it. We opened last night right here. We headed higher. But now we have backed off the high of the day. What's going to be important, of course, is to see where we close today. Now, this previous swing low, is that exact swing high? So we need to overcome yesterday's high, then we need to overcome the step line, then the 24% reverse fib, then red and falling, then we hit the daily BBC. Just above the daily BBC, there's a bearish cross, which is potential resistance as well. Then the 38, then the 50, then the 62, reverse fib. Is this a dead cat bounce? Is this a head fake? I don't know. The headline of today's broadcast, if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're watching it after the fact on YouTube, was, has the S&P E-mini found a bottom? Other than a half a green candle here, we don't have much to base it on. Well, we have two things. We closed well off the low yesterday. We opened green and got up to that resistance area, backed off. And so by the time the session closes today, especially with the volatility that's going to come from what could be a potential 3/4 point interest rate hike, there's no telling where this thing could end up. So I urge you to be cautious all day, but at 2 p.m., unless you're that professional trader that specializes in trading news, put the mouse in the drawer, watch what happens, listen to Jerome, to his prepared speech, because you're going to see initial volatility at 2 o'clock when the announcement comes out. And then at 2:30 when he takes the podium and starts to read his prepared speech, you'll see more volatility. And then when he starts to answer questions from the audience, then you're going to probably see some real volatility. Okay? Do yourself a favor. Let the markets get through all of that. Calm down. Digest the information. Keep your powder dry. And perhaps use it tonight or tomorrow, this afternoon. Not a good time to trade. And I'll leave it at that. Okay? All right. Let's go to the 30-minute chart of the S&P 500 E-mini futures. As I said earlier, once an alert triggers, there's a greater probability of it triggering multiple times than not triggering multiple times. The long CTA last night was 37.58, and the short was 37.20. Here's this vertical line separates today, Wednesday, from yesterday, Tuesday. And a reminder, at the end of your trading session every day, save your workspace, okay? I'm sure that some of you, like myself, came in this morning to find that there had been a Windows update, and luckily I had saved my layout and my charts, and so wasn't a big issue other than I just had to reload it. But it really is important. If you have drawing objects, if you have things on your charts that you don't, now, if you close your platform at the end of the trading session, that automatically saves it. And then when you're ready to trade again, you open your platform. It'll open up, you know, just as it was when you closed it. But when something like a Windows update comes along and there's a forced closure of the trading platform, at least with DT Pro, that doesn't get saved. So I know I caution you this about this a lot, well, because why it's important, that's why. Okay, the CTA long was 37.58, first trigger. Took us up to 37.63. So, it's 5.25 points, $250 per contract traded. And we pull back to the BBC, the pullback held. It holds more often than it doesn't. And then we triggered again and ran up to 37.62. It's 4 points, $50 a point. Got back below the trigger, triggered again, back below the trigger, triggered again. Got back below the trigger, and over here we did trigger, but you had red and falling right here. And when you're trading long, you want blue and climbing on the screen. When you're shorting the market, you want red and falling on your 30-minute roadmap, okay? And so these and these are ones best left alone. Then we turned to blue and climbing. We ran up to 37.74, which would be 16 points, I guess, at $50 a point. And then we get back below the trigger, trigger again, this time up to 37.65, 7 points, and back below the trigger, and we made a run all the way to 37.97.75. If it was 37.98, that would be exactly 30 points, so we were one tick shy of a 30-point move. $50 a point. It's $1,500 per contract traded. Now, these numbers, okay, they're not magic numbers. They're important prices, important areas. Obviously. I mean, look at how many triggers we had. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then 6, and then 7, and then 8. 8 good triggers. But remember, a lot happens inside of a 30-minute candle. So you should be not only watching your 30-minute roadmap, where you've drawn in your lines in the sand, but you need to also be watching your smaller time frame trigger chart. Now, many of us use the four tick range chart, just like Michael uses in the live training room. Some prefer a 5-minute chart. Stefan often uses a 610 tick chart or a 1597 tick chart. And he's very prolific with his post in the discussion group. You'll see lots and lots of his charts and his commentary, which we welcome and appreciate very much. Okay. You have to decide what trigger chart is right for you. There is no right or wrong answer. The 30-minute roadmap, that's carved in stone. But the time frame you use to execute and set your stop loss, okay, that's up to you. And there is no magic time frame. If there were, I would tell you so. But there isn't. I, of late, have used the 8-tick range chart. Okay, what's magic about that? Absolutely nothing. Only that I've used it enough that I feel very comfortable with it. I used the 610 tick for a while until I was fully comfortable with that. And then I started watching the 8-tick range and I became very comfortable with that. And that's exactly the process you should go through. Determine what time frame is right for you. Because remember, we never want to risk more than $300 per contract per trade, less when possible, based on market structure and a simple 3-step process that we teach all of our traders. And you never risk more than the potential profit in a trade. I was in a mentoring session yesterday, and the question came up, well, all of the alerts have a 2-point or $100 target. That's the initial target, okay? You'll see the entry, you'll see the target. The only exception to that would be the NQ, where because of its volatility, the initial target is $200 per contract traded. So you've got your entry, you've got your target. On a long trade, you've got potential resistance, target number 2, potential resistance, target number 3, potential resistance, target number 4. Those are all targets. Now, on every alert, the final trade to target is the weekly trading zone overhead. On every short alert, the final trade to target is the weekly trading zone below. So, if an alert should come out that only has 3 points of profit potential in it, then you don't want to risk more than 3 points. Oh, I thought we were supposed to risk $300 on... No, that's a common misconception. Even though I say it every day, it's one of those things you hear it so many times you no longer hear it and it doesn't sink in. Okay, so I just want to clarify that so that everybody understands and everybody's on the same page. Okay, let's go on to the Dow. We've gotten below the BBC. We've got red and falling overhead. Who knows what this is going to look like by the end of the session today after the Fed is done. Okay, here's the Dow. Here's where we opened. We got above the BBC. We finally triggered right here. Let's open this up a little bit. There we go. So 35.45 was the trigger, and it ran up to 5.95. From 45 to 95, that's 50 points at $5 a point, $250 per contract traded. Here we got back below the trigger, pulled back to the BBC held. It holds more often than it doesn't. We triggered again, and we ran up to 30,600. So that's 55 points. Then we get back below the trigger, and we trigger again. This time we make it up to 623. So that's about 75 points at $5 a point. And then on this pullback right here, we get 3 points below the trigger, and then we run all the way to the target at 3690. So from 545 to 645 would be 100. It's about 145 points off the top of my head at $5 a point. We then got back below the trigger. But this time on this trigger, you got red and falling overhead. Okay? You want blue and climbing for long trades. When you've got red and falling overhead, that represents potential resistance. And look what happened. Okay? Price did trigger. It did run right to red and falling. And what did it do? It acted as good resistance, and it sent price lower. It even sent it below the BBC. Same rules every day, same thing. Those of you that are new, one of the best things you can do when you have spare time is go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CFRN. There's over 2,000 of these recaps archived for you to go and study. Now, lots of groups, lots of trading organizations, they come out with, you know, new shiny objects every other week, something new for you to buy. When you become a passport holder, there's nothing else to buy because that's lifetime membership. Includes everything we do, everything we've ever done, and anything we do in the future. When we rolled out on TradingView, how much more did that cost our passport holders? Absolutely nothing. Passport is for life. Never expires, has no recurring fees. Okay? Will it always be that way? Well, you know, we're dealing with a tough economy here. But once you're in, you're in. And we don't change the rules in the middle of the game. Okay? That's not uncommon in our industry, but we don't do that. We'll never insult your intelligence that way. Once you're a passport holder, you're a passport holder for life. And will the price of the passport always be the same? Probably not. There's this crazy little thing called inflation. You might have noticed it at the grocery store or at the gas pump. Over time, prices rise. Now, we had an initial offering when we first put the passport out, and then we set the price, and it's been over 200 and I forget how many weeks. We haven't raised it, okay? And I'm not saying that we plan to raise it tomorrow. This isn't a sales pitch to make you get your passport today, because price don't go up tomorrow. We don't play that game either. You know, if we do decide to raise the price, and when we decide to raise the price, or when we're forced to raise the price, everyone will have plenty of notice ahead of time so that you can make the decision whether or not the passport at its current price is right for you. Again, there's no upsells, no recurring fees. Once you're a passport holder, member of the family, it's good for life. Okay? All right. So we've covered everything here on the Dow. Let's go to the Russell. Here's the open last night. We get above the BBC. We run right up to the trigger. Back off. We get back. We pull back to the BBC. And then we turn to blue and climbing, which is what we want, and we get a trigger. The trigger is 1720, and the swing high is 26.8. So it's almost 7 points. We'll call it 6 points. $50 a point, $300 per contract traded. Price then pulled back to the BBC. We still got blue and climbing. And we get another trigger that takes us up to 1728. 8 points, $50 a point, $400 per contract traded. And then on this candle right here, as you can see, the low of this candle was 1719.50. So we dropped two ticks below the trigger, and then off we go to put in a high at 1737.7. So that's 17 points at $50 a point. That's pretty close to $1,000 per contract traded. Not quite, but close. Then we pull back to the BBC, the pullback holds. See how it holds and it holds. It holds more often than it doesn't, right? So we bounced off the BBC to put in basically a triple top across here on our 30-minute chart. And now price is sitting right at the BBC. On the NQ, here's where the market opened last night. It opened above blue and it opened above the BBC. We also had blue and climbing. The trigger was 11.411, and we ran up to 11.450. So that's basically, it's just shy of $800 per contract traded. And then we dip below the trigger, and we make another run up to 4.45. We'll call it $600 per contract traded. And then we get back below the trigger, back below the BBC. Here we got red and falling in the picture. Okay, so some of our more experienced traders, because price had gotten above the BBC and above red and falling, some of our traders may have taken this. You're new, you should pass. Okay. Once we got blue and climbing back in the picture, we get the trigger and a rally up to 437. So that's 27 points at $20 a point. And then we get back below the trigger one more time, and we run all the way up to the published target. From the published entry to the published target. 527 minus 411. That's 116 points at $20 a point. It's $2,320 per contract traded. One trade right there would almost pay for half your passport. Which, by the way, once you have a passport, it never expires. And there's no recurring fees. Okay? We get a pullback, and then we get another run, and we've got about a, you know, kind of like with the Russell, a triple top here on the NQ. Here, here. What's the most likely thing to happen next? Well, we've got a green candle. We're above the BBC, but we're right up against the weekly trading zone, which we expect to be resistance until proven otherwise. So I'd be very cautious here. If we're going to trade this, I would let price get above blue and climbing, and my target would be just shy of these highs. perhaps something along the lines of 11,545 up to 11,562, which is not a bad trade at $20 a point. Okay, the price has got to get through the step line, it's got to get through the weekly trading zone, and blue and climbing because it's directly above price right now. It has the potential to become resistance. Doesn't always become resistance, but it certainly has the potential. So I would let all these obstacles get cleared before I took my long trade. Okay? And if you're a new trader, the NQ is probably not the best market to learn on. It's extremely volatile, and it's a good way to burn through your account real quick. Now, when you become a passport holder, you don't start trading live right away. At least, well, we can't. We can't control what you do, but we tell you up front. You need to come to class every day, ask lots of questions, and you need to trade along in your simulator until you put together 10 consecutive days in a row where you reach your goal in 10 trades or less. Once you accomplish that, our 2420 blueprint will give you the green light to go live with one contract. Now that you're trading your live account, your goal is to increase your account balance by $2,000. Once you accomplish that, the blueprint will give you the green light to add a second contract. The huge difference between the first and second contract is the first contract is funded with your startup capital, but your second contract is funded with profit you earned in the market. Huge difference. The blueprint will also notify you when it's time to add number 3, number 4, number 5, number 10, but you only add one at a time when the blueprint tells you it's time, and you only add with profit you earned in the market. If you can stick to that, it will make it extremely difficult to blow up another account. Not impossible. Of course, you'll have to break some rules, but it can still happen. Okay? So do your very best to adhere to the rules-based trading that is taught in the live training room and the 2420 blueprint. Part of the 2420 blueprint is writing a business plan and writing a trading plan. Two very different documents. And the blueprint will walk you through the difference and how to write those. Okay? And it's not something you do in an afternoon. It's something you do as you're trying to put together your 10 consecutive days in a row in the simulator before going live. Because what you put in that business plan and what you put in that trading plan, that's what you're agreeing you're going to live by when you go live. Okay? Don't be too harsh on yourself. Don't be too lean on yourself. Just realize these are the rules that I'm going to follow. Now, in your business plan, you can put in that every 3 months, I'm going to revisit my trading plan to see if there needs to be any adjustments made. The worst thing a trader can do is change their swing every time they step up to the plate. That never ends well. Find something, stick to it. There's no holy grail that's going to prevent you from never being stopped down again. Getting stopped out is as much a part of trading as breathing is a part of life. Okay? All right. So we've covered all of the indices. Let's go to crude oil. This is where the market opened last night. We pulled up to the BBC. The pullback held. We pulled up again. The pullback held. We pulled up again. The pullback held. And then we finally triggered on the short side. 117.85, we dropped to 116.99. So let's just call that $850 per contract traded. We got back above the trigger, but when we came down through the trigger this time, you got blue and climbing right at the trigger. Stay away from that. We pull up to the zone, which we expect to be resistance. We pull up to the BVC, which we expect to be resistance. And they both were. And we came down through the trigger. Again, some of our more experienced traders, once price got below blue and climbing, they might have participated in this, but if you're new, you probably shouldn't. Okay? These things are all color-coded for your convenience to make it simpler for you to learn the methodology and the strategy. And we had another trigger here. Blue and climbing was in the process of turning into red and falling. Okay? And so we dropped down to 116, we'll call it 116, we'll call it 116.85. It's $1,000 per contract traded. Now we got red and falling in the picture, and this candle pulls up to 117.83. So it didn't actually get back above the trigger, so we can't officially call that a re-trigger. But again, our more experienced traders might recognize that situation, and this thing traveled all the way down to the target from 117.85 down to 116.30. And if you're new, you probably shouldn't even be in this trade, but it's about $1,500 from the published trigger to the published target. Okay. All right. Gold. Here's where we opened, right at a weekly zone. We got blue and climbing. That gets us above the BBC. 18.19 is the trigger. Takes us up to 18.23. It's $400 per contract traded. We get back below the trigger, the pullback to the BBC holds. Holds more often than not. We trigger again. This time we make it up to 18.20. That's 104, actually 18.20.4. It's $140 per contract traded. Then we dip back below the trigger. And we make a run to 18.25. That's $600 per contract traded. And then we dip below the trigger one more time here. And that takes us all the way to a swing high up at 18.38. It's $1,900 per contract traded. Now we've gotten below the BVC. So even if we were to dip below the trigger, okay, the long trigger and trigger again, that's not a trade you would take because you're gonna have red and falling right overhead. You're gonna have the BBC overhead. We only take short trades when we're below the 30-minute BBC, and we only take long trades when we're above the 30-minute BBC. That's true across all markets, all time frames. It's true for futures, it's true for stocks, it's true for Forex, for crypto, and options, okay? Now, the TradingView platform allows you to use our strategy and our indicators the same way on stocks as you've seen us do for years on futures, also Forex, also crypto, okay? We've said all along that our strategy and indicators work across all markets and all time frames. Now you have a chance to actually see that in action. Also, price flows the same across all markets and all time frames. from support to resistance, back to support, back to resistance, over and over, again and again. It's a never-ending cycle. It's been in effect since the inception of the markets. It will remain in effect until the markets cease to exist. Why? Because that's how markets work. So then why do so many people tell you that you can't trade gold the same way you trade the S&P or the NQ? Because they have different personalities. That's okay. We're not concerned with their personality. What we're concerned with is a high probability, low risk trade setup. It really is that simple. Trading's not easy, but it can be simple. Okay, a couple more markets. Silver. When silver moves, I already told you, when silver moves a dollar, it's 5 grand. When it moves 2 pennies, it's 100 bucks. Okay, so the market opens. We ride the back of blue and climbing. The trigger's 21.15, and we put in a high, 21.18 and a half. So it's 3 pennies, $150 per contract traded. Then we get back below the trigger, and we run up to 21.22. That would be $350 per contract traded. And then we pull back to the BBC, the pullback holds. You got red and falling right above the trigger. Okay. Again, our more experienced traders, once price was above red and falling, and red and fall, red and sideways, turned to blue and climbing, they might have taken this ride up to the weekly zone, which was also the final trade to target. From 21.15 to 21.46, that's about 30 pennies, is about $1,500 per contract traded. Now, price didn't stop its journey at the final trade to target. It almost made it to the next weekly trading zone. But we only account for what happens between the trigger and the published target. Price is now below the BBC. How low can it go? Well, if it dips below this trigger, be very careful, because you're going to be below the BBC, and we don't go long below the BBC. And if price comes all the way back to the trigger, you're going to have a whole lot of red and falling. Okay? All right. And wrap it up. Here's the euro. Here's how you calculate price on a euro. Simple method. From 105,600 to 105,700, 100 ticks, that's $125 per contract traded. Okay? So the trigger, we opened right at the zone, got above the BBC. We triggered, and from 175, we made it up to 210. So not $100 per contract traded. We get back below, we trigger again. This time we make it to the target from 105, 175 to 275 would be $125 per contract traded. To 375 would be another $125 per contract traded. And then price dipped, almost like an obsessive compulsive thing. Price is above, we got blue and climbing, long trades are fine. You get a red candle that came all the way down, got just below the trigger, and then reversed and took you all the way to the target, and then some. Now we've gotten below the BBC, we got red and falling, but we still have not triggered yet on the short side. But if this comes down, now you see the step lines directly below the candle, so it could become support. Same thing with red and falling, it could become support. support. If price passes those two tests, if it breaks the step line and it breaks red and falling, then you will have all the conditions proper for a short trade at the short trigger. And as we come back to the daily chart, we've got a little more green body than we had a few minutes ago. Again, time now, 1:36 on the East Coast. This is Pacific time, you see right here. Okay, so in about 25 minutes, that Fed announcement's gonna come out. The markets will probably go wild. If it's a half a point, if it's 3/4 of a point, there will be extreme volatility. Avoid getting into the fray. Because if you don't blow up your account, if you keep dry powder, you can trade tonight, you can trade tomorrow, okay? So don't get mesmerized by all the movement on the screen and get this compulsion to, I must participate in this. You know, I can make a week's worth of ticks in a minute, yeah? You can also lose a week's worth of ticks in a minute. So just practice two things that you need to become a trader: patience and self-discipline. Today is a perfect day for you to practice those two very important ingredients on your path to becoming a consistent trader. Okay? All right. With that, I'm going to go to our good word for the day. Today we'll talk about using your faith. Now, the original Greek word for faith is pistis. Originally, faith was considered an action verb. In modern society, we've turned it into a noun. Hey, what's your faith? Keep the faith, baby. That type of thing. But remember, the original Greek, pistis, was an action verb. Luke 8:48. Your faith has made you well. The Bible says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she declared she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. That's Luke 8:43-47. And Jesus' reply to her in Luke 8:48 was, your faith has made you well. We've got three important lessons here. One, recognize and seize your moment of opportunity. This woman understood that Jesus was visiting her town and might not be back. There are God moments in life when you must rearrange your priorities, overcome your fear, and exercise your faith. If you don't, you will miss God's best. Lesson number two, be willing to try a different approach. Since she couldn't get Christ's attention because of the crowd, this woman touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Many times, faith calls for stepping into the unknown, doing something you have never done before, and discovering God's grace at work in ways you never expected. And number three, be a role model. This woman's faith was an example for others to follow. In Matthew 14, 35 and 36, we read, people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The fact is, God is looking for people who are willing to break with tradition. And when he finds them, he uses them to unlock new dimensions of his power so others can be blessed and made whole. That's a good word for the day. Okay, Fed coming up here in less than 20 minutes. Turn your TV on and put your mouse in the drawer. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.